皆様、本日はフィル・ヘンドリーエアをご利用いただき誠にありがとうございます。この飛行機は地上3万フィートを飛行してまいります。また通信。
That's cute. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. David G. Hall, our Vice President of Programming, is with us. I got into a little bit of trouble on Saturday night. We're holding over this segment just for a few more minutes to talk about the morals clause that we sign here at the radio station with this company. In my morals clause, I am obviously not allowed to get arrested for anything. My wife is not supposed to have had an abortion, which she has not. I am supposed to donate 10% of my earnings to church, which I do, and I'm supposed to give to a charity as well. In addition to that, my wife is to stay at home, cook hot meals, and use a weaver's loom. And I'm laughing because I'm thinking how good Terry Ray Elmer would look sitting at one of those. And also a spinning wheel. It's funny, and David, forgive me for laughing.
No, you know, when you laugh, it belittles what we're all about. Now, I just heard your confession.
Yes, I understand. I also wanted to, for people who are calling and interested in that, certain lay people in the Catholic Church are allowed to hear confession, consecrate a host, and hear Mass, or celebrate Mass. David is one of those. Now, I just gave you my confession, and you gave me my penance.
Five Hail Davids.
Now, why do you call them Hail Davids instead of Hail Marys?
Of the fact that as a lay deacon in the Catholic Church, I can have you do penance that involves or invokes my name, as opposed to the Virgin Mary, because she's higher than me, but I'm higher than you, because I'm a deacon.
All right. Let me take these two calls, lady in Tampa, Florida, and Marietta. They've been hanging on very, very patiently.
I asked the lady in Tampa if she was thinking about... Did she know her place? Do you have the answer yet?
Sir, maybe you could be a little bit more specific.
Well, the lady in Marietta said she did know her place.
My place in life, like what I'm going to do?
Is the lady in Marietta still there?
I'm still here.
You know your place.
My place is to serve the Lord where he calls me.
That's the what I wanted to hear. Okay? That's what the lady in Tampa should have said.
And David, I am serving the Lord, but I don't have time to loom clothing and blankets.
Trinkets? I'm talking
blankets,
about...
David, blankets.
Blankets? What about the lady in Tampa?
I don't know how to do that stuff. I've always been into school and, you know, other activities that...
I gave you all this time to think about your place, honey, and this is all you can come up with?
Excuse I don't know that me. Calling her honey is...
Exactly.
Let me handle this, okay?
Are you Catholic? I think that kind of explains the whole thing right there.
Oh, anti-Catholic, huh?
Because that's kind of funny, actually, coming from somebody who worships a woman who walked on this earth.
Get a load of the anti-Catholics. Is this a call from the South? Where are you at, ma'am?
I'm in Tampa, Florida.
There you go. I knew it. All those Catholic haters down there.
I don't understand how you can worship a woman and then turn around and disdain women.
Which is this, the Tampa call?
Yes, sir.
Well, where's Marietta?
I'm right here.
Aren't you weighing in? Do you hate Catholics, too?
I was born and bred Roman
Catholic.
Hey,
I don't hate Catholics.
How about the lady in Tampa?
I don't hate human beings.
How about the lady in Tampa?
I don't hate Catholics.
Well, you said that explains it.
Does that mean I hate Catholics?
Well, explain to the lady in Marietta what you meant by that.
I meant that explains some of your unusual philosophy.
Unusual. Catholics are unusual. Hey, Marietta, straighten Tampa
yes,
out, will
sir,
you?
You believe in the mystics and a lot of
hey, Marietta,
unusual stuff.
I'm still here, and yes, Roman Catholics do...
Straighten her out. Stand up for your religion.
I'm no longer a Catholic.
We're the same religion. If she's Christian, we are the same religion.
No, she's Catholic. She's all into that spooky hocus-pocus stuff.
I am first and foremost a Christian.
How about you, Bill? What are you?
Well, actually, I practice Buddhism.
Yeah, look at that. Everybody bailing out on the Catholic Church except for me.
And I'm half Jewish. That's probably really going to freak you out.
Where? Tampa?
Yeah.
Well,
David, you're missing the point.
A lot of Jews in Florida. Go ahead. What point am I missing? Schaefer's
the point
Catholic,
is not whether
yes,
or not we're all Catholic. It's whether or not we believe and trust in the salvation of Christ.
Yes, and
exactly.
Also whether or not you're willing to support your man.
Well, I believe that when you have children, you should stay home, David, and that's what I do, but I don't have time.
The lady in Tampa, you don't have a man.
I would be great to my man if I had a man,
well,
but I don't have one.
Why don't you get up off your rear end and quit going around and trying to be a man and go find a man?
Get up off my rear end.
Yeah.
I work very hard. Thank you very much.
Fine.
I have to support myself.
You wouldn't have to be working that hard if you went out and... I tell you what, get Catholic. You'll find a man.
No woman has to work that hard? You don't think staying at home is hard work?
If you've got a man, he's out there doing the work. I asked both of you women, and I was laughed at, whether you either one of you had a weaver's loom.
Sir, I don't understand. It's like you're almost obsessed with the whole weaver's loom thing.
Yeah, but it's a good thing for a woman to be at home weaving blankets.
David, may I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Why is it that weaving clothes is going to make me a better wife than just practicing God's presence
because
he called me somewhere else?
You are supporting the home. How many meals a week do you cook for your man? Do you allow him to help you with the dishes? Do you give to charity? And here's the big question. Either one of you ever had an abortion?
No. Excuse me, I haven't
David.
Been married.
Get Catholic and you'll find the man and you'll start pumping out the units the way you're supposed to, because that's what's going on. Yes,
David?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I have never had an abortion.
Good.
I cooked almost all of our meals during the week. And together we pull down 7 figures a year, and we give away at least 30% of that.
Okay.
That's tremendous. Now, has your husband ever paid for an abortion for any other woman?
No.
How do you know?
We've had those discussions before we got married. I have to trust that I believe he's a godly man, and he has proven himself to be a godly man throughout our marriage.
Naturally, what guy's going to admit to that? But that's okay. Now, how about the lady in Tampa?
Okay, this conversation's gone on long enough with a lot of this stuff that's very invasive, okay?
All right. What I'd like Phil to do now is do his penance. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you to the lady in Marietta for hanging on and the lady in Tampa as well. You want me to do my penance?
You're both sinners, by the way. Yeah. Go ahead. Five Hail Davids.
Hail, David, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among program directors, and blessed is the fruit, or blessed would be the fruit of your womb, had you a womb, Jesus. Holy David, possibly the Father of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen.
That's good, that's one. Do four more.
Hail, David, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou, and blessed would thee be among women, were you a woman, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, had you a womb, Jesus. Holy David, possibly the Father of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Two more. Three more.
Hail, David, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed would be the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy David, Father of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Faster, and don't screw up or you start over. Faster.
Hail, David, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among...
Yeah, you did it, you asshole. Blessed art thou among women. Now you got to start all over again.
Will you stop with this, man? Let me just do a Hail Mary, not a Hail David, okay?
I'm sorry. It's in your morals clause.
Yeah, my morals clause. Hail David.
Do it.
David.
Do it.
Hail David, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among program directors, and blessed would be the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy David, Father of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Faster.
Hail, David, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among program directors.
You muffed up, sinner. Do it again.
Hail, David.
Take your break.
I'll get out of here. I'm hanging up on your ass.
Well, just remember your morals clause. You hang up on me, you're fired.
Yeah, I got it. Goodbye. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Boy, the teams that are beloved on this radio show are certainly not doing anything, but it's always that way for me. They're really not doing anything this year. However, in the past, my man, Mr. Crozier, he's got a Dallas Cowboy team that's earned its stripes many times over, a couple of Super Bowl rings in the 90s. My boy over here, Mr. Schaefer, he's a Steeler fan. Of course, they've got the four in the 70s and hit the Super Bowl again back in 95, 96. But not one of my teams has ever really broken through except for the 1980 Raiders. That was my team. In 1980, I mentioned this on the air once before, and I'll bore you again with it. A dream I had. Yes, I had a dream. I was walking on a football field, and in both grandstands were the teams. On one side were the Oakland Raiders, and the other side were the Philadelphia Eagles. I had this dream like in the month of October back in 1980. I went out, and I bet, and in the dream, I go and I sit down with the Raiders in the stands. So I went out, I bet the Raiders that year. I bet every game, and believe me, they were having a rotten year in 1980. They were a 9-7 team, they were a wild card team, and if memory serves me, in 80, Plunkett took over as the starting quarterback for that team. Kenny Stabler went down, and Jim Plunkett took over. The team was doing badly, but Plunkett took over, got him into the playoffs as a wild card. They went all the way through the playoffs in 1980, made it into the Super Bowl against the Ron Jaworski-led Philadelphia Eagles, the Dick Vermeil Ron Jaworski-led Philadelphia Eagles, and triumphed 27-17, something like that. It's the only time anything really magical has ever happened to me when it comes to football, because I'm the quintessential fan. I'm truly an emotional football fan. And allowing my emotions to rule my head, I go for the teams that I love, and they suck. Year in, year out. If I were smart, I'd be a front-running, fair-weather, good-time Charlie like my pal Mr. Schaefer in here. A front-running, fair-weather, good-time Charlie, Pittsburgh Steeler-loving Mr. Schaefer. That's me. Or I'd be a good-time Charlie front-running Dallas Cowboy fan like my pal Crozier over here. 1-15, baby, Mr. Crozier reminds me, back in 1988. Ain't that the truth? And Schaefer says to me that you love the Steelers when they sucked. When was that? Oh, how about the whole decade of the 80s? This year they ain't doing too good either. Boy, they do stink, don't they? How could that have happened to them? God, do they stink. What exactly happened? Who was the guy? You know, they were doing okay there with Bubby Brister and slobs like that. Now, who was the guy? Was it Tomczak? And Cordell Stewart was not their quarterback. Neil O'Donnell got them to a Super Bowl, but even when Neil O'Donnell left, they were pretty strong. He was okay, got them to a Super Bowl. And they got trounced. Well, they didn't get trounced. They played the Cowboys fairly tough, but it was one of those years you knew the Cowboys were going to win. There was so much fate on the side of the Cowboys. There was so much momentum on the side of the Cowboys. Even though they had that dumb-looking clown, Barry Switzer, and that Jerry Jones, and you just knew, almost like the Steinbrenner-led Yankees, you just knew they're too messed up not to win. They're too messed up not to succeed. By God, they did. The next year, they started after Neil O'Donnell. The Steelers started Jim Miller, benched him for Cordell Stewart, and that's when their problems began. Now I'm going to have to ask you the big question. We did it last week, I think, or the week before. Name me the great white running backs in the history of the NFL. I got to go down the other road now. I want you to start talking to me about great black quarterbacks. There are probably just as many as there were great white running backs. I'm kidding. There are great white running backs when there weren't that many black guys playing, huh? I can name one, and Mike just said his name. Doug Williams is the man's name. Still holds the NFL record for the most points scored. He didn't score the points, but the most touchdowns passed for in one quarter in that Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl 88, and I think he passed for, like, what would I get to Tim Smith? No, Timmy Smith was a running back. He passed to Art Munker, one of those guys. What, four touchdowns? Gary Clark. Doug Williams wears a ring. What do you mean, one game wonder? That's more than your man Cordell. Does anybody remember the name James Harris? Of course not. Anybody remember the name Marlon Briscoe? I don't think so. Anybody remember the name Tony Banks? Warren Moon. How about the great Warren Moon? Maybe one game, maybe, I don't know. One game, a couple of good catches. Do you remember that game? Was it 94 or 93 when the Bills came from 35 points down? And the Oilers just stunk that. I bet you that was the beginning of the end for that franchise. Just stunk that joint out so bad that Bud Adams said, you know what, I got to get him out of town. I got to get him out of this building. I got to get him out of that uniform. I got to get the stench off of this team. I got to move him all the way to Tennessee. And we got to burn those Oiler uniforms now. Burn them. That great Oiler uniform. Vince Evans. There's another guy that was star-crossed. Vince Evans had, you know, he's great in college. He went with the Chicago Bears. Then he went to that USFL for a while. He just couldn't get it done. He played for the Raiders very briefly. Long time he played for the Raiders? As a backup, yeah. I can't think of any other black quarterbacks right now. It's really pissing me off because I know there were more than that. Who? Steve McNair. Steve McNair is, hey, and they're playing him again. You know, who was the guy that came off the bench to back up McNair there in Tennessee when he was injured? Neil O'Donnell. Well, they're putting Neil back down on the bench. And they're going back with Steve, and he says, you know what, I'll just take it. I'll take it from here, Neil. Thanks very much. And try getting some braces too, Neil. Ray who? Ray Lucas? New York Jets? The you know, the comment about black quarterbacks is that a lot of them came out of a wishbone. And why did a lot of black quarterbacks come out of a wishbone? Because a lot of black quarterbacks came out of Grambling, which ran the wishbone. And so they got a lot of happy feet going on back there. But that's not necessarily true, and it's not necessarily fair. Doug Williams was a great drop-back pocket passer. He was classic. But he went to Grambling. You know why? Because he told Eddie Robinson to jam it. I'm not going to run that, Eddie, okay? So forget about it. Oh, there was another guy, Johnny Walker. No, the guy who played Johnny Walton. I don't know if anybody remembers Johnny Walton, but Johnny Walton was a great quarterback in the NFL. Then he went to the USFL for a while. He was a real veteran. Those are the black guys I can remember playing that. But, you know, black quarterbacks are, you know, they're a rarity. Good black quarterbacks, kind of like good white centers, you know. But it's not for any other reason other than the fact they're not really encouraged nor groomed for that position. And so there you go. And unless you're playing the kind of offense that a pro team accepts and will can utilize you within, for instance, any offense that ain't a wishbone, you're dead. I think I said that right. It's Phil Henry Show here, 1-800. Who quarterbacks Jacksonville? Ain't he black?
No, Mark Brunell.
Ain't Mark Brunell black? I'm kidding.
Donovan McNabb.
Where's he at, Philly? How are they doing this year? Don't ask? Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Blake. Yes, what a year they're having. Oh, my God. Although they just beat who? They beat the freaking Niners. Let's talk about them for a while. Anybody a fan of the Niners around here? Come on, Mike.
Phil
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I just forgot Randall Cunningham. Maybe I'm trying to forget old Randall Cunningham. You know what? I don't mean to be cruel, but I've never liked that guy's style of play. But then again, I didn't like what Dan Marino was doing yesterday either. The great Dan Marino, I don't know how many years he's been playing in the league, falling down on his rear end with his head turning one way and his arm going the other way, throwing the ball into double coverage. What happens when these guys start getting sacked at the age of 37? They got to make something happen. They got to throw that ball into three guys covering one guy, and somehow they're going to, you know, they're going to thread the needle when the ball is flying through the air. My 8-year-old throw the ball harder than that. He's falling down. He's looking over here. He's tossing the ball like that. He ain't even looking at the ball. Lucky, and you know what? It wasn't picked off. So I don't know how good that makes Indianapolis. Here's San Jose on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
I am one of these disgusted 49er fans.
Ooh!
And,
ooh!
And up here, everybody wants to point the finger at one another.
May I venture an opinion, and then you tell me what you think. I think, really, the heart and soul of the matter goes to Carmen Policy leaving, and in the opinion of my man Mike Crozier, Bill Walsh returning.
Well, everybody says Bill Walsh hasn't succeeded in anything since he left the Niners the first go-round.
Right.
But you didn't have Carmen Policy there to massage these contracts and jimmy the numbers like we did for years, and Eddie D is gone.
Oh, well, what did Eddie do besides just kind of squirrel through the locker room, high-five? Well, when I say high-fiving, I mean that figuratively. Getting up on a stool and high-fiving.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? What did he do?
Well, for one, he was able to give these guys a lot of things that didn't show up on contract.
Well, he gave them a lot of perks when they were winning
a
Super Bowls.
Lot
yeah.
Of perks.
Yeah. Well, what does that mean? That unless they get those the private vacation to Hawaii, they ain't winning no ball games?
Well, for one, they've depended on this talent. They've been able to pay that way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that there anymore. They don't have the talent anymore. We spend money on guys like J.J. Stokes, who we should have let go into Pittsburgh.
Right.
Let him and Cordell Stewart sit on the bench. Who cares?
They let go of guys like Merton Hanks is gone.
Merton Hanks. I was at the Raider game on Sunday against Seattle. He was no big shake there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, big shake.
What the hell happened to Seattle?
They pretty much fell apart, and the Raiders, for once, did not disintegrate themselves. So
that guy Gruden, is he for real? When's he going to get that sour look off his face and start enjoying life?
Never. Never. That kid is upset for the rest of his life.
This guy's about 36, 37. He's a heart attack waiting to happen. This guy's going to wind up like Ditka. He's going to be lifting weights one afternoon and go, you know what, there's a funny pain in my left arm. Oh, well. Okay,
hey,
pal.
I wanted to tell you, there's a couple other black quarterbacks. One is this kid, Akili Smith, out of Oregon.
Yes, Akili Smith from Oregon. Where's he with, Cincinnati?
He's hurt, though. He's out for the year.
Yeah, so they got another black guy, Jeff Blake.
Jeff Blake, yeah. We got the backup black guy.
Right.
And then the other guy was Joe Gilliam, who used to back up Bo
Terry Bradshaw. I remember Joe Gilliam, yeah. Who's the quarterback drafted by Minnesota this year? He's a backup. They got Jeff George. Backing up Jeff George now is Randall Cunningham, but there's another quarterback drafted by Minnesota.
I couldn't even tell you.
Well, I'm just kidding. It's a trick question. Nobody drafted. I'm just kidding. Minnesota ain't drafted anybody good in a long time. All right, sir. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
And they're losing tonight, by the way, to Tampa Bay.
Definitely.
All right. Definitely. Minnesota going to win that game. Here's Hollywood, Florida on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
I remember that game about 20-some years ago when the Rams came down here with James Harris, the quarterback, and tore the Dolphins a new one.
I remember James Harris.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Not really.
Well, he was no flunky guy.
He was okay.
Ferragamo that came in for the Super Bowl year?
Yeah, he was backing up Pat Hayden at that time, James Harris, in the late 70s, yeah. And then he went, I don't know where the hell he went. He went to Buffalo or something. And then that's the last of that. Roman Gabriel was another great black quarterback.
Oh, okay, I think that was a little bit earlier, 70s or late 60s.
I'm joking around. He wasn't black. I'm kidding.
I know.
But one guy that Marlon Briscoe played for the Dolphins, he was a black quarterback and wide receiver.
Yeah, because all I remember about from the early 70s was greasy and moral.
Yeah.
That game yesterday, it's like, you know, since you were down
that
here,
football
like,
game,
every year is the year the Dolphins are going to win it, and it's like...
You know what? I thought they supposedly, the Dolphins had a retooled defense that was really hungry and ready to go at it, and they picked some balls off, and they were looking like they were doing all the right things, but the Colts just kept putting it in the end zone.
Turnovers and penalties, and plus Peyton Manning, it's like, the man's great.
Well, sure he's great, but he was also throwing some stupid balls that were getting picked off.
Yeah. Well, we weren't helping our cause anyway.
Yeah, because Dan is falling backwards, looking up at the stands to see if anybody's in the luxury box serving up the Grand Marnier, and he's throwing the ball the other way, and he threw it like in a double coverage. There was one ball he threw, he looked like Randall Cunningham.
They're ripping them to shreds
okay,
down here, especially
thanks.
After the Dallas game.
I know.
Game.
No, they'll win. I love them. The Dolphins are great, and I think they're on their way to yet another Super Bowl. 1-800, I just have to say, every year you got to say that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, Beverly Hills. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Dante Culpepper is in Minnesota.
Is that the guy?
Yeah, from Central Florida.
Well, that's right. He's a black guy, right?
How about Eldridge Dickey? Remember him?
No, I do not. Eldridge
Played for the Raiders?
Played for the Raiders, really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Eldridge Dickey.
Right.
Nope, don't know that guy. Where's he now? He's probably the same place Heath Shuler is, out of the game. You know, I remember when the Redskins drafted Heath Shuler and were so high on him, and he stunk the joint out, and they brought in a guy named Gus Frerotte, who was about a sixth or seventh round pick. And Gus Frerotte's still playing football.
Gus is in Detroit.
Yeah, and they're doing great. Thanks.
All right.
Bye. 1-800-449-8686. So how's Tampa Bay doing? Are they still winning? The Buccaneers in Tampa Bay beating Minnesota this evening. We knew it would be a bloodbath. We also knew that Tampa Bay would win that game because the defense is better than Minnesota's admittedly high-powered offense. We think it's a Tampa Bay win. Playing at home against the Buccaneers, whatever. I didn't see any games yesterday. I didn't see a one. We were having an open house, so my wife and I got kicked out. I was sitting at Fresh Choice, salivating over all of the, quote, fresh choices that they have there at Fresh Choice. I couldn't eat a one thing there. I can't eat those carbohydrates, because guess what? I'm on the Atkins diet, as we were discussing last week, and I have gained a half pound in a week. So I didn't watch any football. My wife said to me, hey, let's go watch a ball game. I said, well, after that Miami-Indianapolis game, are you sure? She said, not really. So we took off and went up to Fresh Choice. And I walked in. I said, I can't stand it any longer. I got to have an apple. I got to have some pudding. I've got to have. And what happens tonight? Auto insurance specialists, not knowing that I'm on a diet, wonderful local sponsors of the Phil Hendry Show, they send me a muffin basket. There's a basket sitting here full of muffins, brownies, apple cobbler, hot apple turnovers, peach this and apple that and raisin something else. And there ain't a thing in there that I can eat. And I'll tell you, and I don't mean to be indelicate, but I'll tell you something else. You're on this Atkins diet that everybody's raving about. You go ahead and try to sit out and enjoy yourself in the lavatory with the sports page for a period of maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes. You know, really try to answer nature's call in a 5 to 7 minute period. You can't do it. You're eating all that protein and all that cheese. It binds you up. And now problems arise from that. Problems that might cause a little bleeding. And pretty soon, you got a medical problem as the result of you trying to lose a precious 3 or 4 pounds. I got on the scale and I'm going, it'll all be worth it if I could just see some weight loss. It'll all be worth it. I'm up half a pound in a week. So that's why I did what I did, which was last Friday night. I said, hey, the hell with this. I'm going to have myself an apple. I'm going to have myself some milk, and I'm going to eat a piece of birthday cake and screw it, okay? Tampa Bay touchdown. Tampa Bay touchdown. So like I told you, there's no way Minnesota is going into that nut house and winning on a Monday night. Forget it. Their defense is fired up, and Minnesota is real skittish. And Jeff George, I got a big breaking news flash, and I was one of the first to believe in Jeff George when he came up with Indianapolis. The guy's a head case, Jim. He ain't going to last long. Sean King, by the way, a black quarterback, is kicking Jeff George's ass tonight. Sean King, the great Sean King of Tampa Bay. And since I remind, guess what? There's no Tampa calls left because I reminded everybody the game's on. They went back to the TV set. I don't blame you. Oh, the game's over. Okay. So we went into Fresh Choice. I walked down the thing there, you know, down the buffet line, and I'm getting myself all kinds of salad, and I'm getting myself all kinds of dressing, and I, to hell with it, I got to have something to eat. Even Maria looked at me today. She said, you know, this is no fun at all. It says everything that I was taught to believe is wrong is right. Do you remember the movie Sleeper with Woody Allen? In the movie Sleeper, Woody Allen is a guy who's cryogenically frozen, and he wakes up, I don't know, hundreds of years into the future, and he's having a hard time getting his bearings because he's been cryogenically frozen for so long. And the doctor says, hurry up, give him one of these, give him one of these. And the doctor shoves a cigarette in his mouth and lights it. Smoke it. Come on, inhale it. Yeah, good. And he says, Jesus, where I come from, hundreds of years in the past, we were taught to believe that that was wrong. Oh, no, no, no. Then we found out that cigarettes make your life last longer. They're way better for you. It was just the filters that were killing you. Well, it's the same thing with this diet. Everything that I've ever taught to believe is bad is good. This morning, I'm sitting there shoveling down bacon. Big, thick slabs of bacon. And guess what I had for lunch? I had Spam. And my wife says, Jesus, I don't know, I bought this crap. I said, well, go ahead, you know. She says, what is it? Maria didn't know what Spam is. She's never eaten crap like that before in her life. She eats all the whole grains and the fruits and the vegetables. She says, well, if we need protein, I said, yeah. She comes home with like 6 cans of Spam, man. She goes, do you know how to cook this crap? I said, yeah, let me show you how. So I pull off the lid, I empty the damn thing out, I sliced it up, and I threw it in the frying pan. I said, this is how you cook this crap. She says, okay. She took about one bite of this and threw it down a garbage disposal. I said, if you're not going to have that. So I reached my hand down to the garbage disposal and threw that between a couple of pieces of bread. It was great. Marie says to me, what is this? I said, well, it's made basically of pig snouts. She brought home and then today she's like tearing the lid off of sardines. Eating sardines in mustard sauce. Man, even I can't handle that. Vienna sausage And those little tiny wieners that you, those cocktail franks, whatever that crap, even I can't eat that much meat. As much as I like to eat hot dogs and steaks and all that, guess what? It's getting old real fast. I'm going to become a vegetarian when I get off this diet. You know what I got to do? Here's what I'm going to do. This is a big news flash here. Want to lose some weight? Get out and exercise. There we go. That solves my problems. Get out, ride a bike. There. I'll lose some weight. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. And I also was talking just a moment ago to Schaaf about Gary Anderson, the great kicker, quote-unquote, of the Minnesota Vikings. Why that guy still has a job. Of course, why do any of us still have a job, right? Gary Anderson, statistically, one of the great kickers in the history of the game. But when you blow a big kick like that last year in the NFC Championship game, and you live to tell about it, maybe you shouldn't live to tell about it. So he's still hanging around. And what was that other guy we were talking about? The guy that got busted with the hooker the night before in the Super Bowl last year. Was that Eugene Robinson of the Falcons? Yeah. Who is the guy that Chris Collinsworth was upset with when the Bengals didn't show up to play? But it reminded me of that. Chris Collinsworth did an interview on Fox with a member of the Cincinnati Bengals, the 88-89 Cincinnati Bengals, who lost the Super Bowl to the 49ers in the last 2 minutes. Who was that Bengal who had a great season and either got busted or was involved with drugs or was drugged down or, you know, was slept in or was cranky or something, couldn't make the game, and was a pivotal player that year and might have been one of the reasons why they couldn't win the football game? And Collinsworth finally did an interview with him, I think, last year, and basically said, excuse me, but why is it you didn't show up again? Why did you stick it to us? Why'd you stick the shank in our backs? And I don't know that, I didn't see it, but I heard it was great. Who is that guy? Guy with the 88, I'm talking to a bunch of children, they don't know. 1-800-449, the guy with the Bengals in the 88 season, receiver, running back? Icky made it. Icky was there. Was it a defensive player? Was it a offensive player? These guys with their problems. He was a defensive player. Who's this guy with the Carolina Panthers? It's almost unbelievable, man. Carruth? It's almost unbelievable some of the problems that these people get involved in. And I'm not saying the guy's guilty because, frankly, the man hasn't been put on trial yet. I don't know. But the accusation is he paid someone and participated in that someone's driving by and shooting Ray Carruth's girlfriend, pregnant girlfriend. Now, you couple that with that bum that played for the Rams who is involved in drug dealing. These guys are all borderline, I guess. It's okay. Huh? Who? Tony Martin. But there were a bunch of Dolphins. I know that there was at least one other Dolphin involved in drug dealing back. Demetrius Underwood. Now, here's a guy that I think is the epitome of what's great about the National Football League. You can talk to me about the Carruths of the world. You can talk to me about Tony Martin. But you give me Demetrius Underwood. You give me a guy that cares so much that because he stinks, he tries to cut his own throat. I think that's what it was, wasn't it? Wasn't he running down a street with a knife after cutting his own throat? And, of course, the Vikings cut this guy, but he was cleared to play with the Dolphins, who picked him up. Jimmy Johnson needed him. Jimmy picked him up. Cleared to play with the Dolphins last week. Guy was running down a street somewhere. It was, we don't know where. Ogallala, Nebraska or somewhere. East St. Louis. We don't know where he was. Was he up in Minneapolis where he tried to kill himself? He didn't try to kill himself. He just wanted to cut his own throat. See what it felt like. Mother got on the news and said that he's hanging around with the wrong people. Nobody, I don't believe, has said that truly the problem being this guy's got to be hearing voices or seeing things. He's nuts. He's troubled. Trouble ain't the word, man. The guy belongs in a soft room. The guy needs to be belted down just for a couple of days. Just tie him to something for a couple of days till we can pump him full of some formaldehyde and Thorazine and figure out what's wrong with him. It's cool. I mean, I've seen it in this business, too. So, you know, I'm not trying to put the guy down. I mean, I've seen plenty of guys in this business take their clothes off and try to cut their own throats on the air. Like Carell tried to do it this afternoon, I think. Wasn't that what he was trying to do? Well, why were his clothes off? What do you mean they weren't? So it's a goofy, it's a goofy game. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Chatsworth. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Phil. Great show, as always.
Thanks.
Hey, I wanted to give some props to a guy that I've been listening to on the radio in L.A., and you were mentioning him a few minutes ago about him and his teams. And
all right, are we talking about somebody on another radio station?
Yeah, but I mean, is that okay?
What? Is it a sports station? Or?
Yeah, it's a sports station.
Okay, who?
Well, I think that he's really, really good, and he's just been knocking it out of the park lately. Terry Bradshaw.
And I've not heard him.
Yeah, he's on noon to one on Extra Sports in L.A. And he's really, really good.
I haven't heard. What's he doing over there? So is he doing 1 hour or?
Yeah, he's doing 1 hour, and he's on from noon until two. And he's.
Is he doing 1 hour or two?
Doing 1 hour.
And what time is he on?
Noon to two.
Well, that's 2 hours, ain't it?
Oh, I mean noon to one. I'm sorry. He's on noon to one. And he is fantastic. He's funny. He's witty. He's bitching.
Really?
Yeah, he's really good. And he's so good that I think ABC's thinking about putting him in the booth next year.
Well, I heard that ABC was... And this is just a rumor, but I heard they were going to try to divest themselves of Boomer Esiason. And who's the other guy that's in the booth right now? Oh, Dan Dierdorf's gone. Oh, Al Michaels, Boomer Esiason. It's just the two of them? So they were going to try to get rid of Boomer Esiason. They were going to put him, Terry Bradshaw in the booth. And
well, I think that he's earned it just based on his work with Extra Sports. And you know what's really bitching? I mean, this is
what?
This is really the bitchin'est part. When he starts singing country music along with the song, oh, Jesus, that's good. Holy Jesus, he's really good. And he just...
Does he sing country music on the show, or is he...
Yeah, he sings country music on the show. So he's really, really good, and I really think that it's going to be bitchin' if Monday Night Football puts him on the thing... On the TV show.
Well, all right, pal. Listen, it sounds like you got a cold or something there.
Yeah, I've been cheering for Minnesota tonight. Or, I mean, who's winning?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's who. And so my throat's a little raw. I've been watching their game instead of listening to you because, frankly, tonight you're a little, it kind of sucks.
All right, well, I appreciate your input. Terry Bradshaw's radio show is fantastic.
It is really good. And when he doesn't get any phone calls... That's the best. Listening to him beg for calls, I really like it.
All right. Terry Bradshaw, 1 hour, noon to two.
Noon to three.